Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How are you guys doing? We got one of the top ranking UFC fighters in the world with us here on the Dean Show, Mirsad Bektic. When we come back, there was a component that is so neglected nowadays, especially since this component was an integral part in the past to making a complete martial artist. He was lacking in this area, but he has picked up the pace now, and it's helping to him to become a more complete martial artist. And God willing, he'll have more success in life now. We're going to be talking to UFC fighter Mirsad Bektic about this missing component that he's gained now here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing very good.
Let's start off with, you know, this greeting that we gave each other. You know, many people, when they hear this greeting, you know, this is because the Dean Show is dedicated to dispelling many of the myths, but many people don't know that we just wished each other peace. Yeah. It's a greeting of peace, and we're people of peace wishing each other peace. Mm-hmm. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
How you been?
Man, alhamdulillah, things are getting better. I'm here with you guys, learning more about Islam, learning more about, just everything in general, just lifestyle.
Yeah.
And how good things can be.
Yeah.
If you just take the responsibility of doing your own research and applying it.
Yeah.
And being diligent about it.
Yes.
Not just about Islam, but how Islam can make you diligent in so many other in other ways, mm-hmm. about how you treat people, about life, and how you go about your life. Mm-hmm. So,
tell me. So, you're an UFC fighter,
yes,
ranked in the top 15.
Yeah.
And what motivated you to, and how did you end up getting into the UFC?
Well, I mean, I ended up getting into the UFC. I was 7-0. I moved to Florida when I was about 20 years old, training there. I went professional in 2011, and I got a text. Hey, do you want to fight this guy? He's 11-0. Trains with Johnny Hendricks at the time, and I said, "Man, it's like a dream come true." You know, it was kind of at that moment I was almost starting to go on a different mindset of life, mm-hmm. and I got that. And 6 weeks later, I was making my UFC debut.
Yeah. So how long? You've been fighting in the UFC how long now?
I've been in the UFC specifically since 2014.
2014?
So, yeah, three
and,
years.
And when's your next fight?
I hope it's December 30th, so that my current management is working on getting that done right now.
So you're in the same weight class? Is it true as Conor McGregor?
Yes, he was at 145. He's at 55 currently.
Yeah.
But technically, he's still a champion at 45, but...
Is Aldo was a champ at 145? That
was.
Belt that he has, that's the 145 belt?
Well, he had the interim belt.
Yeah.
And then, so UFC made Conor vacate the 145 belt because you have to, over a certain period of time, you have to defend it.
Uh-huh.
So then Aldo fought Max Holloway for the actual UFC belt, and Max Holloway beat him. He beat Aldo.
Okay. So now
Max Holloway is the champion.
Yeah, okay, Max Holloway is the champion. So what belt does bring us up to speed? What belt now, again, does Conor?
He has that 155
belt. 155 belt.
Yeah.
That's the one that he beat, who?
Eddie Alvarez.
Alvarez, okay. Yeah. Now I understand. Yeah. He vacated that one because he was waiting too long.
Yeah,
right?
UFC just like, hey, boom.
He should have been defending the belt, right?
Yeah, I think it's over. If you don't defend it within a year,
okay,
then you have to move
on. So you would qualify, that's his original weight. So you would actually qualify, you're in the same weight class
as
Conor.
Yeah, we're in the same weight class.
Yeah. So maybe that's a future matchup, potentially.
I mean, I'm in it to be the best. And, yeah. I've made one dream come true. I'm in the UFC.
Yeah.
Now it's about finishing it.
Uh-huh.
And do my best to do it. And
yeah.
I'm sure if I get there, and when I do get there, I'll meet him if he's around.
Yeah, we always say, inshallah, God willing.
Yeah, God willing, inshallah.
And that was one of the things that I did. I did a show not too long ago when Khabib was supposed to fight. I think have you ever met Khabib?
Yes, I actually made my UFC debut with him in 2014.
Yeah.
And we had I've always been kind of nonchalant, chill. You know, your cousin is always telling me, like, hey, man, you need to take pictures with these guys. You need to take pictures with your boss. Yeah. But I've always been like, okay, just like normal to me. It's nothing like crazy fanatics for me, but I do realize how important it is to be more like appreciative of those things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I met him in 2014, and we were actually supposed to fight together March of this year, March 4th.
On the same card?
Yeah, he was supposed to fight Ferguson.
Yeah.
And I was on there. And then after the fight, his manager was FaceTiming me. And I spoke to Khabib and his manager.
Who's his manager?
Ali.
Ali?
Yeah, so yeah. I was FaceTiming with those guys. He was telling me about my fight, and yeah.
I did a video. We did a program talking about some of the things that people would perceive as being odd. Like, for instance, some of the things that, you know, he has said. For instance, after he'll finish a fight.
Alhamdulillah. Everything God gave me.
Thank you, God.
Everything God gave me.
He'll say, and it's kind of the bridge to gap where people are like, what is he saying? What is he doing? For instance, after he'll finish the fight, he doesn't point to himself. Mm. Just like you, after you finish your fight, you point up above.
Yeah. Winner by submission due to a Kimura, Khabib the Eagle Nurmagomedov.
So he's directing that attention to the one who gave him the ability to throw the punch, right? To be it. There is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Yes. So he's saying, not me, up. And he's saying, Alhamdulillah. So people are like, what does that mean? He's saying, thank God, thank God, right? Yeah. And then he'll fall. Another thing we talk about, he'll prostrate. Mm-hmm. And people are like, was he kissing the ground? Yeah. No, he's thanking, again, the creator. And many people don't know that Jesus, peace be upon him, he also fell on his face when he prayed. And
I didn't know that either.
Hey, it's in the Gospel of Matthew 26:39. It says, and he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed to who, himself? No, he prayed to the creator. So this is the same thing that he was doing. And we trying to bridge that gap. And then I actually invited him. I said, look, you've been on this show, that show, the Ariawana, what's the guy's name?
Ariawana.
Yeah. Show. You need to come on the Dean show. Like our brother here. So God willing, inshallah, we'll have Khabib with us. Tell me, you also, you had in one of your fights, you had a T-shirt on.
Yes, sir.
And it said, never forget Srebrenica. Your background is from Bosnia.
Yes.
Srebrenica. Can you tell us why you wore that shirt? What was the motivation essence. Behind that? The essence behind it?
The essence behind it was I am from Srebrenica. The reason I am in America is because the Srebrenica, Bosnian-Serbian War, and the essence of it was to show people that I'm from there. And that I love my people, and I love my town, and that I haven't forgot about them, and nobody else should either. And it's not so much in a negative way, which I think a lot of people do, like, hey, look, never forget this, remember us, look what you did to us. But it's like, it's more of a concept of, this is where I'm from, this did happen, for people to look into it more, and to be like, oh, wow, man, they went through a lot. And that shouldn't happen again. And it's almost like in a loving way. It's not so much in a point fingers at somebody.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't even think about Serbian army guys or whoever was involved in the massacre, the genocide. I don't even think about them. It's just more about, you know, losing my family that I lost and my grandmother.
You lost a lot of your family members there?
Definitely.
Many people don't know that was the greatest genocide after World War II in Europe. People don't know about that. You had just in Srebrenica that it was, what was it, like almost
close to 8,000?
Around 8,000 innocent men, women, innocent civilians were killed. They were just, it was an ethnic cleansing that was happening, and people don't know about it. And and you're actually from that. I just came back from Bosnia, and that was on my places to visit. I didn't actually get a chance to go, but I wanted to visit there. But this is where. But I got the next best thing. Someone who's actually from Srebrenica. That's where you were born.
Yes.
Yeah, Conor, he's always like, you know, representing Ireland. So
definitely.
There's nothing wrong, obviously, to know your roots.
Yeah, and as I get older, I mean, now I'm 26, but you know, when you're a little younger, you know, we came to the United States, 8 years old, 9 years old, and speak no English, and you were raised in a different culture, so you don't really, sometimes you kind of forget, or not you don't forget, but you don't really take acknowledgement of what actually happened. You don't do your research, and you gotta really see what happened, and to know yourself and where you came from, and why you believe, or why your town or people believe what they believe, and so just kind of really knowing the essence of everything, and taking pride in it.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning.
Uh-huh.
I'm still learning about that. I'm still learning about my people's religion and my town and my country, and just growing with it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something that also, I mean, we have that also in common, that my family, you were born there. My family's from first generation. They actually came over about 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I thought, hey, there are so many other tragic events, you know, any event where you have innocent people who are being massacred, killed, there should be awareness created about it, right? So it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
And this is one of those events that it's sad to say that many people, even Bosnians, have kind of forgotten about it. So I thought, and I did a particular program, people can watch it on our channel, it's called the Bosnian Muslim Genocide. And it talks about, we don't, because nowadays many people, and you being also a Muslim practicing, you know, Islam, many people right away, you know, they link as soon as you say Muslim, the synonym right away, terrorist, right? Ridiculous.
Get away from us.
Yeah. So now I did this show and I said, look, we don't blame Christianity for what Milosevic and Karadzic did. Mm-hmm. And they were Christian, right? But we don't go ahead and now exploit this and say, look, this is radical Christianity.
Yeah.
That doesn't work like that, because they might have did whatever they did, you know what I mean? And they were practicing Christians, but we know that Christianity doesn't preach that. The same way Islam doesn't
preach a lot of violent acts that people make it out to be.
But how do you feel when you see things like, for instance, there's too many to list, but one major event just happened. It was the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. This lunatic, went in Vegas. He ended up, killing almost 60 people, injuring almost 500, something like that. He didn't say Allahu Akbar, so he's not a terrorist, right? Allahu Akbar means many people, if you don't know, it means... That was another thing that we talk about. Khabib says Allahu Akbar, it means God is the greatest.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Yes, praising God. God is the greatest. So it's not a war cry. Now, we usually say if you pass by a Muslim, you had lunch with a Muslim, somehow you're connected to a Muslim, it's terrorism, he's converted to, and it was just amazing. They sneak in these headlines. I don't know if you saw it, like ISIS claims responsibility, he converted to Islam 6 months ago. People don't, and people don't read the rest to see that this is just a bogus, you know, this is like fake news, but they
ratings.
See that, they see that headline, they think, okay, he's a Muslim. Mm-hmm. Crazy. How do you feel when you see your religion maligned like this in the media?
I mean, I think people just got to do their own research.
Yeah.
Just because it's not. I mean, I don't even pay attention to it because it's bogus.
Yeah.
It's like, man, anybody with common sense knows that. You would think anybody with common sense would know that the religion has nothing to do with it, and the fact that this certain event had that it was even directed towards Islam, it's just funny to me. It's like a joke, like, come on, like,
yeah,
really, like, it's, come on, it's stupid. It's really, it makes you even want to not even watch that channel that news is on, because you have so many other KKKs, all these groups that are, like you said, Christian people, they practice Christianity, but we know that Christianity has nothing to do with the KKK, that just because somebody says they are one thing and they act in a certain way doesn't make everybody that way.
Yeah.
And it's a joke. And now we don't really, I mean, Vegas, what happened maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago, it's already out the news. You don't hear much about it already.
Yeah.
Is it because it wasn't part of Islam, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to, there's no ratings on it.
Yeah.
It seems like Islam has that, like you can point a finger at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what made him do it.
Yeah.
The book made him do it.
And that's the double standard. Yeah, those double standards is kind of the hypocrisy there. But people like yourself now, people like Khabib, people who are out there in the spotlight mm-hmm. now do have a big responsibility now, even though some might shy away from it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take you to this clip and I'm going to show you someone mm-hmm. who didn't shy away from it. He's a great example for every celebrity Muslim, every human being, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, but especially those nowadays who are being targeted, because now many people who are Muslim, unfortunately, they're being dehumanized and many are, you know, hiding under rocks, you know, scared to say they're Muslim, right? But nowadays, you know, especially we need to stand up and show really what Islam is, to live Islam and show that we're human beings like the rest. You follow me? And we're proud of that. And I'm going to take you to this clip and then we'll take it from there.
Another bath, another shower, clean my mouth, pray, and at 5 in the morning, this goes on when I'm right. Now, I didn't do that for the first Frazier fight nor the first Norton fight.
Really?
No, sir. My head got big, and I started thinking it was my training camp and my boxing ability that kept me where I was at, and God punished me, and he gave me a good whooping. He broke my jaw in the second fight, and he got me whooped and knocked down in the Frazier fight, and I realized I wasn't that great after all, so I had to get not only together physically but spiritually. For this fight, I've prayed every day for 5 days, five times a day for the past 4 months, and everything is perfect. And if Allah's with me, it ain't no way no man can win. No way.
That's deep, huh? And he went from being the most despised man to the most loved man. He's a Muhammad Ali Muslim American hero.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Muhammad Ali. They love him. And he was unapologetically Muslim. You follow me? He was a humanitarian. He was a peacemaker. He was a person who was bridging that gap of misunderstanding between the people, and he filled that role that now it's left to many people like yourself, people like Khabib, other Muslims who are out there, who are in the spotlight. What do you think when you hear someone like him speak from this little clip?
Man, I feel like that's somebody I can definitely relate to in a lot of ways. I was undefeated. I remember I was undefeated also, and before that fight, when I tore my ACL, I came back and I was praying. I did every prayer every day, went to mosques at night. And then I remember before my last fight, too, I kind of got away from it. And I kind of questioned it sometimes, but it was like, no, it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And just hearing him say that now, it's like, God, maybe just woke me up a little bit.
Uh-huh. 'Cause
I do think differently now about a lot of things, priority-wise and life-wise. Spirituality wise, so I definitely relate to him in a lot of ways. Besides, be Muslim, just mentally, and just how proud he is in it is gives you hope.
You see the confidence that he had when God is with
it,
you.
Yeah.
There's no man that can stop you, right?
Yeah.
And he was missing that. He talks about how he got his jaw broke. He thought it was my training camp.
Yeah.
It was me. And you'll see many of these, many fighters, UFC fighters, many of them, they'll pump the chest and it's like it's all.
Mm.
And that spiritual component for many people is missed. It's huge. In life in general. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always been spiritual. Because in life, I guess when I was growing up, I really didn't have that discipline. So once I started getting more into reading and just looking for that guidance, and I found that through spirituality, it was kind of like my father. And now that's what disciplines me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I do certain way, when I do certain things, I have these verses and these things I read in the Quran or in that Prophet Muhammad's hadith. They kind of check me like, oh, well, you read this and he did it this way. So it's just it's a book of discipline, of guidance, and that's what it gives me. And I'm very spiritual, and I don't know why I can't be like a certain athlete. And I've come to a point where I'm not comparing what they're doing and doing it a certain way as they are. I am different, and this is what's going to be good for me. And I just come to accept that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, what worked for them might work for them. It might not work for me. So I just got to keep doing it how I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And this is, I believe this is a part of that.
Yeah. Many people, and this is what motivated me, you know, and this is, again, just to, because there's obviously a lot of misconceptions about Islam and Muslims. And that's what motivated me to start the Dean Show, mm-hmm. going on almost 11 years, 600 plus episodes, is showing that there's so many commonalities. And if people would just sit, listen, and learn with an open mind, you know what I mean? Because there's a great statement that goes something like this, that for the mind to work, it has to function like a parachute. It has mm-hmm. to be open.
Yeah.
And the greatest form of ignorance is to reject something you know nothing about. Okay. And sincere people who sit and they make the human connection, right? They meet Mirsad, mm-hmm. right? He's a Muslim, practicing Muslim. He's trying his best. You know, we all make mistakes yeah. and whatnot. Well, all of it. Yeah, we're learning. We're doing our best. But now when they learn some of the basic things, for instance, just by the name Muslim. Muslim is simply like Jesus was, one who submits to the will of God. That's what a Muslim is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if to qualify the statement, if a person has, if someone asks, are you a Muslim? And I'll say to qualify that, do you mean someone who has submitted to the will of God, who's kind, merciful, just, and fair? Someone who won't hit on your wife mm-hmm. or rip you, try to rip you off, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah, that's a Muslim. If you got some twisted idea in your head, like what you've been seeing, yeah. you know, in Hollywood, yeah. that's probably not, that doesn't fit the description. Mm-hmm. So when these commonalities, you know, are shown, many people, that kind of breaks down the walls, the barriers, you know, this deep love we have for Jesus, for instance, as a mighty messenger, yeah. his blessed mother. There's a chapter in the Quran named after her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and growing up, I didn't even know that.
right?
When I was like a Muslim, I just said I'm Muslim just because that's where you grew up.
Saying. Yeah.
But then you get older and you learn these things and like, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so these are the things that many Muslims also, like you who come from a background of Islam, they don't know these things. So that's what we're dedicated to get this information out, because sharing is caring, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then the people can judge for themselves. But because ignorance is something that is affected so many people, that they're ignorant on these basic things of Islam, and then they're bombarded by the media.
Yeah.
You know, the media is hitting them with, you know, this terrorist attack. They take some nut job and they prompt him up like he's an exemplary Muslim.
The label, and then we shy away from it. And I've done it before too. I mean, somebody asks, "Are you Muslim?" Like, you kind of your confidence. You're like, "Oh yeah."
So that goes between the unapologetically Muslim and you know, apologizing like I am, not really.
But you know, I'm going into it.
Yeah,
become more confident. I'm learning about it, and
it's kind of like getting on the mats.
It is.
If you know more jiu-jitsu, you're confident in your jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. or you're wrestling, or you mm-hmm. know you're fighting.
Yeah,
let's go. It's, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You
can.
But if you're not confident, you're not living it. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to express it. Then you. It doesn't work. Yeah, then, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because once you, you are, you have a responsibility.
Yes.
I mean, I believe you have a responsibility.
Yeah.
So I'm always practicing. So mm-hmm. it's all right, cool. I have to, you know, remind myself sometimes, like, all right, cool. Well, this is how, you know, how to treat your mother, how to treat your brothers, how to just treat people in general, and it checks you.
Yeah. That's deep. You know, when you just mentioned how to, you know, these qualities that many people have had. I've had interviews with people who, when they've accepted, you know. Islam, the parents of these young kids, mm-hmm. they would say, I can sleep better at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now my child respects me better. You know, he's a better all around human being. You follow me?
Growing up.
Yeah. So this is one of the qualities that Islam teaches, to be a better neighbor, mm-hmm. right? To be the best at whatever you do, and not to harm even an animal. There's a beautiful statement by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. He said, there's, you know, faith has 60 some odd branches, the highest of which is to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens mm-hmm. and earth, and Muhammad is the last final messenger. And the least of which is to remove something harmful from the road.
Mm.
Definitely. A Muslim, we started with peace. Mm-hmm. We're talking about removing an obstacle from the road. That's, so someone doesn't puncture a tire, slip, fall, hurt themselves. So, these are the fundamental beliefs of Islam, being of good, noble character and whatnot. So this is just amazing. And what point in your life did you start taking life more serious in this aspect? Where did you started to contemplate and think, what's my purpose in life? Yeah. Why am I here?
I would say at probably around age 17, 18.
Yeah.
Or probably early 17. I was kind of tired of... I was looking for something like direction. And I wasn't happy about the way I was living my life, the way my friends around me were living their lives, and where everybody was kind of going, and the direction that they were going. So I was very motivated to do better in school and outside of school. And then once I found martial arts, that kind of gave me that first set of guidance and purpose. And just moving down a few years later in Florida, I just kind of. Something was missing, and I just feel it. I just wanted to hear something. Like, man, I remember hearing this long time ago. I just pulled up some surahs, passages, if you want to call them American, and just played it. Just hearing it was just kind of soothing to me.
Yes.
And then going out to the local, driving, having a car, being able to drive to the local mosque, and look into getting the book, and then reading the book, and. Oh, wow, there's English translations.
Yeah.
And then, I met another Mirza who was a professor also, and then learning from him. And it's been, ever since then, it's been a learning process. Sometimes, you fall back on, your certain prayers, but you kind of get back up, and you have these reminders of, why it makes sense, and why it's so good for you.
Yeah.
For your life and for those around you, and for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's when around 23 is when it started for me, and again, it's been an uphill learning process.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, learning, and gaining that confidence from what you learn, and I've seen for myself personally, it's helped me definitely to be a better human being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To grow spiritually and to grow. To be the better version of myself and many people, when I hear their stories, it does the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a sense of respect right off the bat. You can connect to somebody right away.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll do something for them just because, they're Muslim and you kind of know what that stands for if you really know the truth behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're willing to go out of your way for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like for even strangers.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, before we cut out, you plan on visiting Bosnia anytime soon?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I plan to. I had so many different plans this year. Some things got messed up, but I definitely 100% plan on going as soon as I fight this next fight, which I'm sure is going to be December 30th. And I plan on going to Bosnia right after that in January, and then we'll see how long I'll stay there. I have my father there. I have my grandmother. Lots of family there. So it's been way too long.
Inshallah, God Almighty. Yeah, Allah, reunite you with your you haven't seen your father in
10 years. I mean, you see him FaceTime, but it's different.
It's not in person. Yeah. So God willing, you reunite with your family. I want to thank you very much for being with us here on the Deen Show.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate it.
And that was my brother and your brother, Mirsad Bektic, UFC fighter. Very elated to see him find that missing component, that spiritual component to make a complete and balanced human being. Many people are missing it. And we invite people to explore and look into it to see what has brought that peace and contentment into his lives. The Muslim American hero who was unapologetically Muslim. Let me qualify that statement. Jesus, Moses, Abraham, all the messengers that the Creator sent out of his love, they were all Muslims. And a Muslim is simply one who has submitted to the will of God. Muhammad Ali, Muslim American hero, was unapologetically Muslim. And you see, he's loved till this day. Because a Muslim is someone who is morally upright. You don't have to worry about him trying to hit on your wife. ripping you off in a business deal. This is the kind of neighbor that you want to deal with, that you want to have. A Muslim neighbor. You follow me? Who's good with Christians, Jews, everybody. But he worships the Creator, not the creation. And he stands on certain values and principles that are good for all of humanity. And if you're apologetically Muslim, how are people going to learn about Islam? How are they going to see the ambassadors of Islam? How are you going to convey the message, share the message? Especially in this growing hate epidemic. It's so much manufactured hate and fear. The Islamophobia industry is a growing industry. $250,000 is spent bashing Islam, attacking Islam. There's fire bombs. There are bombs being thrown into mosques, vandalized masjids, and women being attacked. Why? Because people's ignorance, because of the hate. So if you're apologetically Muslim, how are you going to dispel many of these myths and misconceptions? So it's nice to see someone who's unapologetically Muslim, who's helping to use that platform that they have and not shying away from the responsibility of someone who should be a great example, as Muhammad Ali was, someone who people love to this day, all the athletes want to imitate. And hopefully with that responsibility and that role, we live up to that, because God don't care about the UFC belts. God don't care about what kind of cars you drive. You follow me? He doesn't care about the color of your skin. He doesn't care about the wealth that you have. He cares about what's in your heart and your deeds, the good that you're going to accomplish while you're on this earth. And may God Almighty Allah continue to bless you, Mirsad, and everyone watching. If you have any questions, call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Make the human connection. We're here to help. Erase any myths, misconceptions. We're here. Accept the invitation. Make the human connection. And tune in every week to The Dean Show. See you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.